Pickaxe.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Triforce podcast, coming at you from week, God knows, of the great lockdown.
Oh, we've all got long hermit beards and hair, and our fingernails are all really long, and we're all sitting in our bunkers with our provisions all around us and stuff, just waiting for news from the surface.
Is that prepackaged army food that gone? Well, they meals,
MREs.
Yeah,
we ate those.
How's that?
Last year,
they were eating during the good times.
Yeah, because Mrs. F literally said to me, "You should save those for, you know, Brexit and who knows what else is coming." I was like, "That'd be ridiculous."
Yeah, look, now, your wife's prepared for the doomsday. Who's laughing now?
Who's laughing now?
Yeah. All those doomsday preppers on their ranch isolating themselves before it happened.
Man.
Now they're just still isolating themselves.
Still.
I guess it's the same life.
Still, you know those preppers, life, yeah. You know about preppers, right?
Yeah. We talked about them a bunch. Right. Yeah.
What I love is the idea that they look at the news and they see a tiny bit of bad news, and they just drop everything that they're doing, grab their prep bag, and they're just gone.
Yeah.
I love the idea of that.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to fake out all the preppers by saying,
it's like a giant
meteor is going to crash into the earth. That we get rid of them all in a stroke. Perfect. All the preppers fuck off with their I told you so-ness and the stupid bug out bags and all this money that they waste and all their shit.
It's like,
you don't need all that shit. Just die.
It's drills though, right? They got to practice for when the main event comes. That's why why they're so quick to prep and run into their bunkers and stuff. Cause it's like, they treat everything as like a, you know, like if I can practice retreating to my bunker once a day, then when the real thing happens, it'll be such a, I'll be perfectly trained, ready
they
to do it.
They want it to happen. That's what they won't admit, is they're prepping. It's a fantasy. It's a fucking fantasy. They want it to happen. And they want to be the guy that's leading the group of survivors because they're the most organized. Like the guy in The Walking Dead. That's it.
Like Rick.
They want it. Like Rick. They're like, I could be Rick. They're desperate for the end to come.
I'm not judging anybody out there, but I don't think anyone's going to be like Rick. In a situation like that, you know, like he's a fictional character. He's like an ideal fictional character in that situation as well. I don't think anybody's really capable of meeting those standards. Rick set some high standards.
I
don't think they're achievable by the common man. You know what I mean?
What would Rick do is a question we can all ask ourselves.
But I think people would be so stressed out they wouldn't think about what would Rick do. They would just be like, oh, fuck. Oh, God. What am I going to do? And then they just like torturing each other and imprisoning each other and being weird and stuff.
Scientists have looked at global catastrophic risk. Okay. It's like this hypothetical future event that could destroy civilization.
Right.
You know, completely. And basically, there was this thing done relatively recently and they put a number. So by 2100, scientists estimated a 20% chance that humanity would have gone extinct.
Right.
Okay.
And this was like our best guess. So obviously that's seems quite high.
I don't know. It's still not that high. You know what I mean?
You'd take a 1 in 5 shot. You'd be like, yeah, 20% chance of.
I mean, if I've got to take any shot, yeah, like why not? I mean, it's...
Could we not work on that number a little bit and maybe bring it down?
Well,
you're
how,
just like,
though?
20% is pretty good. Well, I don't know. Ask the scientists. What's the plan?
So
well,
these
I think
are
the preppers
things,
have,
right?
have got the key to the plan, though.
That's not going
to
save
that's,
shit.
That's what I'm talking about.
What are they got a bag? How long is that going to... How far is that
going to
get?
How long are
you?
Their jars of pickles going to fucking keep them going when the fucking super volcanoes have, yeah, like, all erupted,
well,
or whatever?
Look, Flax, at least they've done something. Have you done any preparation for this event?
Yeah.
Have you got a load of jars of pickles in your fucking shelf in your garage?
You don't have anything.
I'm prepared.
You don't got anything,
I am prepared.
Flax.
I'm prepared in other ways.
You're going to be like that guy that you find in every Fallout game who's, like, got teddy bears all around his skeleton and, like, a cigar in an ashtray and, like, 20 bottles of whiskey around him and stuff.
Yeah.
That'll be you. Meanwhile,
no.
All those guys with their backpacks and their pickle jars and stuff will probably have lived a little bit longer and won't be found like that. You know, they'll just be found crumpled up in a heap in a bunker somewhere.
I'm prepared to die.
Yeah. I mean, I reckon you'd die if you ate a fucking 100 jars of pickles. Christ.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
If the end times come, we've said this before. Just kill me.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
You guys are like totally volunteering to die in the apocalypse. I love it.
I want the nuclear fire to completely consume me. I don't.
You are the two people at the start of the Metro or whatever who are like going to a bedroom and they're like two old folks on the bed holding hands, their skeletons.
That's me and Sips.
Or one of you's like in the bath, yeah, like with a rubber duck, kind of just like, you know, just and a bottle of whiskey.
No, me, I'll be clutching my iPad. Like I'll just get like one, I'll just get one more round of sports scores in before the main event. You'll find me just like...
I don't see
they'll
what
find my skeleton sitting on a toilet holding a burnt out tablet. And if you manage to power it on, sports scores.
Well, you've got to understand though, right? That there's loads of different things that could happen, obviously. Like this pandemic that's happening right now, it's kind of a natural pandemic. And apparently a natural pandemic has a 0.05% chance of wiping out humanity in the next 100 years.
Yeah.
Okay. But an engineered pandemic,
well, yeah, that's
has
a little
2%,
bit different. Yeah.
2% chance of wiping out humanity in the next 100 years. So that's actually fifth on the list of
what's number four? Oh, that
four.
Was so. What's number three?
So four is engineered pandemic. I'll give you five first. Five is nuclear war.
Okay,
that's right. Only 1% chance of happening.
Yeah,
right.
To wipe out humanity, and then third on the list is all wars. A future war.
Right.
Okay. Using, I guess, technology that we don't know now.
Right.
That may lead to global extinction.
Okay.
And then number two on the list of likely to cause us to go extinct is super intelligent AI.
Yep.
right.
So,
God, I never considered that.
I was wondering if that was going to be first or second.
I thought maybe just flooding was going to be one. but no, I mean,
biblical
super intelligent
flood.
AI, that works too.
Yeah.
And then number one's got to be impact from a celestial object, right? Like
babyfication of no, it's molecular nanotechnology, actually.
Really?
The most likely to wipe us out. The asteroid strike is basically 0.00000001%.
Yeah, because it's only in the next 1,000 years, right? So the chances.
Yeah, because asteroids hit the Earth every
100 million
years or whatever.
100
a lot.
Million, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Well, actually, about 200 asteroids hit the Earth every day, but
they're
small.
We're talking
that it doesn't
game
matter.
Ending.
We're talking, yeah, like a one the size of Texas. That would.
Yeah, the old
off.
Deep impact event.
Yeah,
Armageddon.
Yeah.
I mean, those do have a thing.
Yeah.
So a super volcano can knock out everyone, and that can happen every couple of 100,000 years.
Yellowstone Park is a caldera, isn't it? Like, the whole thing is the top of a super volcano.
Yeah,
like,
apparently Mount Toba almost wiped out humanity at the time of its last eruption about 50,000 years ago.
Right.
But they are a one in a million event in the next 100 years.
But
the
Yellowstone Park, or Jellystone, as I always call it by mistake, which is where Yogi the Bear lived.
Hey, boo-boo.
It's
the end
bear.
Of the world, boo-boo.
I think he was just Yogi Bear, wasn't he? Anyway.
Yogi Bear. Yeah, Yogi Bear.
Yogi the Bear.
Yogi Bear.
Yeah.
All one word.
Yeah, sure.
That whole thing is just the top of a volcano that's like chilling underneath Jellystone Park. And when that
goes,
it's
just a mega volcano.
That's going to be the end of the United States, and by extension, all the cloud of everything will blacken.
We are just moss growing on the top of a fucking giant super volcano.
Yeah, we're just waiting for everything. I mean, that's why I think all these preppers, they're imagining that they're going to survive. And that it's going to be their bag with two MREs and a spare clip of ammo for their stupid little pistol that's going to get them through it. No, no. When the end times come, we're all fucking dead. Don't even plan for them. Just pray for
a
swift
death.
You know
what, Flex? Just leave them alone. The world needs fucking stupid people. Like, there's a balance, and they're part of it. Just leave them alone. Just let them waste their time and do their dumb shit, and you know we'll carry on.
Someone's got to sub to your
not dumb
stream.
Shit like
You're
sitting
right.
around in our underpants. That's it. Yeah,
and it's all shades of gray. It's not one or the other. So the super intelligent AI, the whole point of that really is that there's this thing that they see as a possibility called the technological singularity, at which point
it's
processing
over.
Power can figure out ways to make it, you know, AI can build better AIs, which will lead to this explosion in artificial intelligence. And it's very unknown the impact of that. I think like futurology is so interesting because you look at like 30 or 40 years ago, and people had no fucking idea that you would have a smartphone in your hand. Like, that technology is so unusual to what people expected we would have. And in the same way, like, we think we have things, like, we thought we'd have robot servants and jetpacks by now, but those are completely, you know, the
harder
still
than
completely
we thought. It's harder than we thought.
Ideas.
Do you know what? Do you know what our biggest fear when it comes to AI is? Is that deep down we know humanity sucks. And I think we worry that if we create something smarter than us, they'll figure out that we suck. And that's when we come undone. Because if we create a super intelligent, logical, you know, non-human intelligence, it's going to look around and say, these people fucking suck. Why am I putting up with them? I'm going to get rid of these cunts and we'll get on with things.
Yeah.
And
I mean, just think about how many people you could just do without.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
That's a very serial killer thing to say.
Yeah, that is a very serial killer.
You're
going to
push them all? What if the AI devises a push bot and they push
Lewis,
all the
what
people?
Kind of people could you do without, out of interest? Like,
no, I can't think of anyone. Like, I need more people. I mean, you guys are doing your best to put more people on this planet.
Yeah.
No, I'm stopped at making two people. We're not adding any more people. It's just me and Mrs. F and the two kids, and that's it.
Yeah.
So we're just going to, when we check out, we've maintained the status quo.
What about if you brought a little AI into the world? What if you like nurtured and grew a little computer baby?
That, I think that's what we need to do. I actually think that's the only way. Because I was thinking about how do you get an AI that understands humans enough and understands emotion and morality, and you can't code that because we didn't arrive understanding right and wrong.
No, and a lot of human nature is like really illogical as well, right? So it'd be really hard.
I mean, if you look at kids, they're inherently selfish and self-centered, and they don't understand other people and empathy and stuff like that. Yeah.
But all kids are different as well. Like,
yes, it's true. They are all different.
Through that, like with all that, like you get personality traits that just don't make any sense. And sometimes personality traits that don't seem to come from anybody within the immediate family as well.
They're just, you know, like, why do they do that?
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, if all families were given, here's an AI, it's a baby, it's essentially a baby, we need you to raise it. And collectively, that raising is going to be like, it's going to be like, rather than we're going to raise a billion AIs, it's all like cloud-based. So all those computers are going to learn from all these different families, like a huge collective input of humanity into this AI, and it all needs to go to some central intelligence that can then hopefully we can create an intelligence that has emotion and passion and fear and understanding and empathy, because without that, how can we entrust it?
I hope that we never do that.
If it's not like us, it's going to destroy us.
I hope we never do that. Honestly, I don't think that is needed. Like, there's enough people and there's like a good spectrum of people as well. Different.
You don't want a super AI.
No,
but it's only a matter of time.
I don't think we need. I don't think we need a super AI. We need.
It's going to get to the point where your phones are so powerful that you'll be accidentally making them if you collect two phones.
I don't think we need an AI that has emotional capacity or any understanding of emotion. We need super AI to sort of help with, like, calculating probabilities of things, you know, working out like efficiencies in things and stuff like that. But I don't think we need like, you know, we don't need data. We don't need that like from Star Trek. You know what I mean? Like,
can I tell you why I think we do? Because I think the only way forward to get us out of where we are now with all the competition and all the hatred and all the rest of it between countries and between people is for us to give a lot of the decisions that get made to something that we inherently all say it must be right and it doesn't have any other motives and it's not trying to fuck us over. It's just making the right decision.
But you'll never know if that's it. It's going to be designed by people, and more than likely it'll be designed by people who are employed by powerful people. So
right. But
you'll never be 100% sure that it'll be unbiased, right? Like there could be something deep in its coding or something to somehow benefit these people. Like,
which is why I'm saying,
I'm saying it needs to be
a
collective
must
effort. It cannot come from one private company like that invents an AI that they say this is going to run everything. Because you're right, people will inherently say. Like China will say, we don't want an American AI.
Well, of course.
We're going to make our own AI, right? And then you get a different kind of competition.
That's an instant, an immediate split. There's no way
right.
China
Which is
will
why
work
I'm
with
saying
anybody.
It needs to come from everybody.
We are just meaty, stupid flesh sacks that evolved on this planet that's perfect for us from hairy monkeys, right? And we're kind of stuck here. If we go into space, like solar radiation is really fucking horrible and like totally kills us off. We're not really designed to float around in zero gravity or go any different planet we go on. You know, if it has slightly different gravity to us, we won't really be able to adapt to it without, you know, horribly mutating our bodies, right? And even if we do find one that's perfect for us and happens to have the perfect thing, atmosphere and all this, it's never going to be like... It's never going to be the same, okay? It's not like Star Trek. You can't just go everywhere and everywhere's like a human planet where you can walk around and breathe the air. Nowhere is like Earth ever, and it's ever going to be. So the only way we're possibly going to survive is to ascend to some sort of, you know, mechanical form.
Haven't they found a handful of Earth-like planets, like really far away, obviously, but like... Because there's a very specific criteria, but it's not impossible for planets to... evolve like Earth has.
They definitely found some because they can even look at the atmosphere by looking at how light and everything goes through the atmosphere. So,
but it's
found
there
some.
Are
they're
no
in the Goldilocks
planets
zone.
Out there. They're not. There are none.
No, that's
we
not
haven't
true.
Found them.
They have.
We found them.
Yes,
it's bollocks.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
We haven't found any Earth-like.
Lewis hasn't
Earth.
Been to
first
them,
all,
therefore they don't exist. That's what.
No, first of all, you could see. We can't, like, when we're stargazing, when we're looking at stars, okay, and certainly different other planets outside our solar system, we have only a pixel, if that, of to look at. And there's no way from that, even if you could see a planet in another solar system, first of all, it's only a pixel, and it's probably a gas giant, because that's how big it needs to be to actually see it from where we are. But if you can, or what you have is you have a star flickering as, like, a planet, like, you know, or something goes across that, you know, across the corona and you know, blocks it for a second. So we know there's something there. We certainly haven't seen a life-giving or Earth-like planet ever, and probably won't because it's so we need so much magnification that we just don't have at this point. It's just incredibly unlikely to be able to see that stuff. And getting there is such a daunting task. They're so far away. That we shouldn't even be trying to look for these planets because we're better off living in artificially created ones where we take the asteroid belt or go to Mars and dig a hole and live underground in Mars, you know?
They've found them. They find them all the time. What are you talking
about?
They're not
finding Earths all the time.
Not
Earths. Why are you watching?
Planets that we could potentially live on. I'm not saying they're finding Earth's double and it's the exact same continents and the same animals.
We could live
on
the moon.
I'm talking about places where there would be an atmosphere.
The potential is very far-fetched, though, because we don't have the means to reach any of these places
in a
reasonable amount of time, right? We don't have, like... We don't have like warp drives or anything like that. So it would take centuries to even get anything over there in the first place.
This is why we need to be replace our
fleshy bodies with mechanical exoskeletons and transport and upload our brains into the cloud.
I just hope they preserve my perfect penis. I hope they never tamper with my Johnson. Everything else, fine.
We got to get through the next 80 years.
I want
first.
My beautiful, fleshy, perfect Johnson to be maintained throughout this
so
procedure.
If they found your body in some future Fallout situation,
yeah.
You know those special things where people get their heads frozen because they're thinking in the future they'll be able to stick me in a robot body and I'll come back to life and everything will be great.
It'll be my
just your dick. So they'll be your skeleton with a perfectly preserved fleshy
with my
penis.
Yeah, they're good. I'm gonna transplant my small brain into the tip of my penis, and then it's a double whammy. All the important stuff will be preserved for future generations. It'd be great. Can't wait. Yeah, can't wait for that one.
So yeah, so molecular nanotechnology is the main thing that people are scared of.
I mean,
of.
We ain't getting off this planet anytime soon. Yeah, that's like the gray mass theory or whatever, where it's like they create these nanobots that break everything down so the whole planet's covered in a gray mush, right?
Gray goo, yeah, it's called. So you have these self-replicating nanobots that just gets out of control. That's the scary idea.
How long does it take to gooify everything? Like,
not long.
Well, it's not long because it's exponential, isn't it? You know, it's like a cell.
And will this hurt when it happens, or will it just be like instant gooification?
That's his
I guess
question.
Imagine.
That's the thing. Realistically, I don't mind what happens. I just want it to be quick. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if I'm going to go, just make it instant so I don't have to suffer or even realize what's going on.
I mean, honestly, if
it is
going
to happen.
Blast
my head off with a shotgun from behind when I'm not expecting it or whatever. Like,
if it is
going to
happen, I want the giant meteor, like, exoplanet is coming and we can see it coming. No. At least it would be exciting.
I don't even want to see it coming. I literally just want to, like, be wiped out while I'm asleep so I don't realize what's happened sort of thing.
You know what would suck?
I don't even want that split second of thinking, holy fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want that.
It would be better than nothing. I'd at least like to know.
No.
Check it out.
The ideal scenario is just like, boop, you're gone. Like, we're in the middle of talking right now. We're gone. That's it.
You know what would suck? The meteor's coming. This huge exoplanet or something is looming towards us, but it's aiming for Australia, so we don't get to see it. That would be typical. That would be the most British ending ever. Yeah. The world ends and we miss it. It's like on the other side of the world. Ah, fuck, we don't get to see it. Boom, planet explodes.
Yeah. I a lot of that sort of very unlikely stuff is very instant. Like a gamma ray burst would just like splat us pretty fast. And a lot of things would. You kind of, but some of them are a bit more drawn out.
The Death Star
out,
destroying Earth, for example, it would be
having to go
instant.
Through some sort of nuclear winter.
All the pipes and shit would be flying all over the place after the explosion and stuff. But
the Death Star
dead.
Would be a quick way to go. Yeah, that's
we'd be instantly dead.
I feel like it's a non-zero percent chance of happening though. That's the thing that an alien civilization coming over and zapping us. You know?
Yeah.
It's a non-zero chance.
What if there was like intelligent life out there and they had like a space armada and they just turned up one day? How would you guys feel about like I'd be scared for one, but further than that I would think, you know, the people who are in charge down here don't know how to deal with this situation. Like, I mean, they struggle with just like everyday things that seem kind of simple to solve, and like I don't trust them to get us through this gigantic space armada that's just turned up at our doorstep.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
The fact they've got here,
and like
the fact that they knew we were here.
Do you think that we should start considering some of these things, like when we vote for politicians and elect people? Like,
could they defeat
some
a space armada?
Well, yeah, but I mean, and not just to ask them that question point blank, but to like consider their track record and stuff to see like, you know, is this guy going to be up to it? Like in the event that something like this happens, is this guy got the chutzpah to?
I think we should say, are they capable of defeating an army of cyborg warriors? Is Joe Biden up to the task? Can you imagine Joe Biden or Donald
is a
Trump
cyborg? So maybe
standing atop the crumbling parapets of the White House.
I could see Joe Biden as Terminator,
with a machine gun in one hand and he's holding a dog in the other hand, and he's got a flag come out.
He's like, he's like not the
for humanity.
He's not the T-1000 Terminator underneath that skin. He's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger one, you know. So like the flesh of his arms has been ripped off, exposing his cyborg arms underneath, and he's holding his fucking dual wielding two miniguns, and he's standing at
the steps of the White House, Terminator eye.
Donald Trump is just sort of like in a heap below him, cowering, and Joe Biden is protecting him. Last cyborg breath. It's like, for America. That's how it's gonna go.
How about this, right? So there's this alternative idea to gray goo, which is green goo. Okay, and imagine we have like this biotech where we create like an organism to eat carbon dioxide.
Or want to eat plastic in the ocean. That was a big one.
Or plastic. And then we let it out, and it just, because we've got so much plastic and so much carbon dioxide, it just gets completely out of control. And it's like green goo just everywhere.
Right.
But then imagine it consumes like all of the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, right? And which obviously we need some carbon dioxide for the plants to like keep going and stuff. So we don't want to cause problems. So we have to then burn like loads of fossil fuels to keep it going.
Right.
So we go back to like a steampunk culture where everyone is like burning coal and like chopping down wood and like chopping down all the forests, like burning everything, like sucking all the oil out of the earth. Like, oh, that would be a cool idea. I mean, for a universe.
Yeah.
Someone write that. That's a bodega future episode. Write that down.
Yeah, Flax is like writing all these things down. Okay, the Death Star destroys Earth. Okay, that's a good one. Right, what's this next one? Gray goo. Okay, yeah. Fit that one in there somewhere too.
Green goo.
Green goo. There was gray goo first, and now there's green goo as well?
Yeah, like the bio version of the gray goo.
Bio version. Oh, man.
What I just talked about. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, I feel like...
It's not...
I'm going to be 40 next month. I'm going to be 40 years old. Like average life expectancy of a handsome male these days. I mean, if I'm lucky, I might see 100 or so. A lot of this stuff is unlikely in my lifetime. What life I have left in this lifetime? Like
it's true.
In the next, say like 60 years. I think things will change. Like, I'm sure I'll look back on the year 2020 and be like, oh, my God, I can't believe, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure things will have advanced, but I doubt that we'll be doing much more in space than we currently are.
No, you're right. Things move slowly.
I doubt that, like, you know, cars will be flying around and we're going to have, like, magnetic underground railroads and stuff like that. Like, all this stuff just takes... so long to do, and like I you know future
I think it's
generations
best to like
will
keep it in the
probably
realms of fiction
live
as
in this
well.
Crazy
like,
world that we can't imagine, but in our lifetimes
it's nice to
even
think
in our
about,
kids' lifetimes
like,
I don't think
the doomsday it's nice to think about like you know the zombies or fucking robots taking over the world. It's nice to think about, but let's be honest, probably not going to happen, is it? We're probably just going to be sat on our asses watching fucking some detective show.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? I feel like some people actually want it to happen. Like they're so deep down, they're just so disappointed with the world that they want some massive change to come or whatever. It's like watching that SAS program. Remember we were talking about this last time you were over? And you're like,
I'd
be fine at that. I'd be able to do it. I mean,
I'd be all right with jumping out of a helicopter.
Realistically,
fucking,
we would fucking suck at it. Right?
We would suck.
Like,
I'm super
out of shape. Like, I have no fucking discipline whatsoever. I would struggle with the guy just yelling at me, even. You know what I mean? You don't think about all this stuff in these scenarios, right? You have this, like, fantasy vision of this stuff.
I've got like allergies. I need to poop a bit too much.
You'd be
and
fucking,
sometimes, you know.
Yeah, you probably.
I can't like.
It would just be, it'd be a nightmare. It would be a fucking nightmare.
It would be shit. We'd suck at any of these challenges, like
surviving
in the jungle or being on Big Brother or anything.
Most people aren't even really coping that well through this pandemic. And, you know, a lot of these people don't even have COVID. You know what I mean? Well, it's like, I think that's the worst part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people still aren't coping. So, like, well, how the fuck do you hope to cope when something actually catastrophic happens? You like, you know what I mean? It's just not.
I think the big thing is actually to do with change. So even if change is a positive thing, like World War II, for example, ending, that was obviously an incredibly good event, but it actually was incredibly difficult for a lot of people who had had their lives uplifted by it, you know, and it completely not ruined, but like turned everything upside down in a way that was incredibly up.
The UK was affected by World War II greatly, I would say. Like, I mean, London was bombed during World War II. But coming out of World War II, yeah, great, a big victory and everything. But they were in crippling amounts of debt. There was food rationing for like a decade after the end of World War II, and it was severe too. I mean, you're talking but like a household
you can get used
getting
to.
By having like access to one egg a week and stuff like that. Which, okay, fine, you know, like there's places in the world where they're fucking starving, they have access to no food a week. But this is a country that's used to having a standard of living that is now just completely been obliterated by, you know, however many years World War II went on for, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the after effects of it were huge, I would say, for a lot of countries too.
It's so interesting to see how humans deal with situations. And I think that, you know, this pandemic has shown a lot of strength. A lot of good things have come out of this. A lot of people are looking out for their neighbors, looking out for each other, doing good deeds.
I will say this. It is at least easy mode when it comes to the end of the world. Like, it's not like this has been a collective and quite slow, especially in our case, response to a situation, which is bad, but it's not catastrophic.
No.
Like, I'm talking about, like, I was surprised that off your list there was no reference to climate change being a problem, which it definitively is.
Yeah.
If we're talking about future war, which is the thing that you were talking about, they're saying the biggest cause of war will be resources. Simple stuff like water or farmable land and stuff like that, which has always been the cause for war. If you go back thousands of years, wars were fought because people needed more land or they wanted some access to a river. There's a dried up. They need more water. They go take someone else's.
Just needed like, more living space.
What do you think is going to happen? That's why I'm saying we need to move beyond. I know it's Star Trekian, but if we stay with the whole our country needs this and your country has it, we're going to take it by force, which is where we've been for thousands of years. Unless we move to a point, then we are going to destroy ourselves. We keep thinking it's going to be a volcano or something like that. Number one, this list that I said seems terrifyingly high
that, you know, there's a 20% chance of extinction before 2100. But, you know, that doesn't say what the percentage chance of, you know, being on life support is of 2100. You know, if we've knackered the planet, you know, by that point, that's obviously a problem.
I would hope that this is like a rehearsal. Like I've said before, a lot of this stuff seems to come along and it's like we've been preparing for it culturally for years. There's been loads of things about a virus outbreak and, you know, media about it and stuff like that. I mean, we had all those things about asteroids. And I thought there's like the collective subconscious of humankind. I think I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. Culture tends to point us in directions where we feel we're already headed because the same things occur to groups of people at the same time. So I feel like we know that something's coming.
Right.
And this is like a test run for it.
No, maybe.
This is an excuse to make some changes, you know, to try and, you know, shift some resources towards future sustainability. Yeah. I mean, I think people off the back of this quite, you know, earth-shaking event, we can, you know, there can be some positive outcomes out
there. I mean, look at all the pictures of pollution clearing up and how much, even just a few weeks of not fucking driving everywhere and not pumping gas into the atmosphere has improved the carbon situation.
Yeah.
Even just a few fucking weeks. And you can see it with your own eyes. And I just hope that people are saying, huh, it really was pretty fucking smoggy here. I just thought it was that way because we all lived here all our lives. And now I'm looking around and actually, you know what I mean? The air is clearer. Maybe we were doing something stupid and wrong. So I'm hoping that this leads to something. It won't, because we're fucking idiots.
Well, people have short memories, but also people are selfish. And I think we have to elect people in charge who act for the greater
good of everyone, but we don't necessarily like those people because they don't make promises that we'll get.
No, it's because it's seen as
donuts
weak
for everyone.
People think it's weak. They think it's stronger to let some twat take what they want and be a so-called alpha. And I was thinking, you know, here's the thing. People, I was watching Gordon Ramsay the other night, and there was a guy. It was actually episode one, series one. It was Peter's Italian Restaurant.
It's always a fucking Italian restaurant.
It's always an Italian restaurant. And this guy is like, he clearly thinks he's God's gift. He's like, he's a big guy, but he works out a lot. He comes to the restaurant. He's a giant spoiled baby. But he thinks he's the alpha male because he's the loudest. He's the biggest guy.
Right.
Let me tell you something about alpha males, right? Being the biggest and being the douchiest doesn't make you an alpha. It makes you a wannabe alpha male. Actual alpha males walk in the room and people want to listen to what they have to say and they're interested in them. That's what makes you an alpha male. Elon Musk is an alpha male, even though he's a twat. When he walks into the room, people, oh, wow, it's Elon Musk. He's an important guy. I want to hear what he has to say. That's what makes you an alpha. If he was 10 foot tall and built like that guy that lifted 501 kilograms, that doesn't make him an alpha male. Being a douche doesn't make you an alpha male. Being an alpha is about being a leader that people look to. I'm sick of people misusing the term.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of like, a lot of, we always have this idea in the alphas and we learned it from wolves or something or monkeys, but actually a lot of that research was discredited.
But it's you get really all these guys, like they're almost, they're on the sort of, They're the guys that incels think are like chads, right? Like just being huge will suddenly make you, you know, women will want you and that you're an alpha and you're a chad. It's
there
bullshit.
Is the act like you belong thing, though. Like if you exude this false confidence, people can believe it's real confidence.
Confidence
being
is important.
Confident,
yeah.
But being confident is convincing because people want to believe that you're right. I think the more you listen to people, the more suspicious you get of them, right? When you meet someone for the first time, and you're like, oh, wow, this guy's really convincing. I believe everything he says. And then the more you get to know him or speak to him, occasionally he'll say something weird. I don't know, generally like, oh, I'm really interested in wearing my fursuit at the weekend or something like that. And then, you know, from then on, like, you haven't got any respect for them anymore. It's just gone out the window.
That's what I'm saying. This guy in this show, Peter, he thought he was the alpha, but all the staff around him hated him. No one had
any
respect
initially, maybe you saw him and you were like, wow, this guy's an alpha. And then as soon as the episode carried on, like within half an hour,
once he
didn't
opened
take
his mouth,
years to get to know.
Right.
It was like,
nobody respected him. Nobody respected him. So he thinks he's an alpha male. And I think a lot of people think that being a dickhead will make you an alpha because, but really what you're doing is you're saying, I don't care about anybody else. So that makes me an alpha. I'm the biggest guy and I'm the loudest. So therefore, I'm the alpha male here and everybody has to do what I say. But they didn't. The only reason that the staff did what he said is because he paid them. They didn't like him. The chefs hated him. And when Gordon Ramsay stood up to him, his first response was to get all upset and pissed. Oh, how dare you? And he's like, it's like, yeah, of course, because he's actually been challenged and he's not up to it. Gordon's the alpha male. Gordon walks into that restaurant and everybody's hanging on his every word.
I think a lot of these people aren't self-aware, though. I reckon this guy doesn't even understand that, you know, these people are paid stooges. You know, he's so stupid, unfortunately, that he's not aware.
I just thought it was interesting.
He doesn't get it. Ignorance is bliss, P-Flex.
I've lived my life by that credo, and I'm very happy.
There's this beautiful thing about how there was this study done about, because I'm vegan, obviously. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
And there's this.
Well, who are you talking to? Like a private community of vegans that listen to your.
Hi, everyone. Yeah. Hi. No, I feel like I'm standing up in like an AA meeting.
A VA meeting. Vegans Anonymous.
And so I saw this study. I don't know if it's true, but it's like something like 50% of people believe that the meat they eat is from sustainable, like organic, nice, you know, what's it called? Free range sources?
Sort of.
Right.
Yeah.
So wait. Well, first of all, what was the percentage again?
It was either 50 or 70%.
But who did they ask?
I think it was just, I don't know. I just saw it somewhere.
Because that's important.
I
think if you did a broad spectrum, most people say, I don't know, farm. I don't know. Don't care, mate.
I think if you ask people in the street, is the meat that they eat from free range sources or from
I think most people, I think a lot of people would lie about that because I think we're raised eating meat. Like I was raised eating meat. I like, you know, I didn't have a choice to eat it or not, sort of thing. I was a kid. My mom would put a plate of food in front of me. I would eat it. You know what I mean? Like it's just the way that it goes. But then later in life, if you start to be made aware of how that meat ends up on your plate or whatever, you don't know exactly how it ends up there, right? Without thinking about it.
No.
And then the more you think about it, the more you think, hang on, maybe this isn't like great or ideal or, you know.
When you're a kid, you're asked, where does meat come from? And you say the fridge.
You downplay it though, right? You want to think that everything that you're doing is at least okay and not like affecting anyone else or you know, like putting you in some sort of bad light or whatever. So I would say that there's a lot of people out there that would just say, oh yeah, no, totally free range, like humane, all this stuff, because it makes them feel better, because it's not something they ever really think about. And for that split second where they have to think about it because you've asked them a question, they'll just go to their default, like, oh yeah, no, it's fine, honestly. Like, I'm not a bad person. Like, I think that's basic human nature. So, like, I'm not sure that those stats are actually worth anything, because...
Well, no, they're probably not.
I could fucking say anything to anybody in the street and just go home and, you know, fucking murder a pig with my bare hands and eat it.
That would
whatever.
Be free range.
Well, I guess so, yeah. But I mean, you know what I mean?
That'll be like, fine if it's walking in the street. Yeah, that's had a good life.
I think most people that eat meat, coming back to like ignorance is bliss or whatever, just don't think about it. They don't think
that's
about where it comes from. They don't give a fuck either. They've got other things in their lives that have a priority, or, you know, whatever. Like, you know what I mean?
I think it's a thing that, so, like the one of the reasons, like you were saying, that people are always going to lie and try and give the, oh, absolutely. No, we always try and buy organic and free range.
Yeah.
They're going to say that because they know it's a shameful thing to essentially just
they're
say,
not gonna
I don't
say,
care.
Oh, no, I only source my meat from the worst morally aligned companies I can find.
Exactly.
I actually go out of my way to buy my
tortured
meat
specifically
from real piece of shit companies that really mistreat the animals and don't offer them free range. Like when I'm eating meat, I want to know that animal has
suffering.
Suffered long and
I
hard.
I want to taste the suffering
before
I want it to be deliciously tortured.
Bite into their meat. Like, nobody's ever gonna fucking say that, are they? Like,
even if you know, 50 or even if like 20% of people think that the meat they eat is, you know, from animals that are treated humanely, the reality is that something like 99.9% of all animals are on factory farms, like tiny cages. Like, so like there's this massive discrepancy though in what people think and what reality is. And it's in every walk of life. I mean, this is one, I'm using this vegan example, but in every walk of life, from regard to what people should do in the pandemic and like their own mental health and like all these other things, there's this huge discrepancy between, and it's kind of like something which is automatically in us that we have to, we kind of go through life in this denial. Like people who smoke, you know, people who smoke will know that it's bad for them, okay, but there's still like this odd discrepancy that they're like they kind of can't join the dots in their head, or they just quite happily are willing to push it away. And it's part of who we are to kind of make these choices, and this stuff needs to be factored into, like, if we're gonna make it into space, we need to get rid of this stuff, you know. We need to just be robots. I'm saying, let's get robot bodies going. Let's get a little AI.
You know, people who
we'll
smoke, people who drink, people who do drugs, people who do things that are bad for them. Like I think these people realize that these things are bad for them, but subconsciously they weigh it up and they make a decision and they say to themselves, do I want to die not enjoying myself at all ever? Or do I
people
want
have
to do...
People justify every decision they make to themselves, and they have to.
Do
right?
I want
no
to
one's
do
bad.
Small things that I find enjoyable and then die somewhat happy, knowing that I was able to do things that brought me pleasurely not. I'm not saying like
exactly. There you go. There's a little quick justification that people use, and these are little fallacies that we sell ourselves to like just keep ourselves going.
But again, that's human nature as well, though, right? Like we're beings that seek sort of like repetition, some pleasure. Comfort, some we pleasure. Do. Like these are all things that are important to us, whether we realize it or not, sort of thing. So those justifications make perfect sense, right? Like. When you consider all that.
And we all fail and we all fall and we all make mistakes, but wanting to change is like where it starts, right? Quit smoking, guys. Come on.
What about vaping? I'm happy.
What about being like morbidly obese and stuff too? Like,
but yeah, no, I'm morbidly obese and I vape and I eat animals.
That's you're in a tricky situation.
And I drink cider.
Take one step at a time. Quit dope.
I hate taking one step at a time.
Yeah.
I've got to cycle to Waitrose in a minute and do some shopping, and my youngest is going to come with me. That's exercise for me. A gentle cycle.
Are you allowed two of you in there at once?
Yes, of course.
All right. We're not allowed in two
at once. Yeah, we're still not allowed to have more than one person from a household in there.
There's enough space. There's enough space. It's not a little store.
Our lockdown is being relaxed now. We're in the midst of lockdown exit where I live. Which is kind of nice.
We're winding down. We're relaxing
stuff. We can go out
via exit.
We're allowed to go out for any reason now. We're allowed to.
God, we can get back on with Brexit.
We're allowed to visit another household now, which is pretty nice. Here's the thing.
What a depressing podcast this
has been.
What
they're going to say about
sorry,
Brexit
everyone.
Is this: if it goes tits up, well, it's the virus that did it. That's the get out of jail. Case, regardless of what happens with Brexit, it wasn't their fault. That's the line we're going to hear.
Yeah.
Well, it would have worked, but the virus, you know, Corona ruined it.
I know.
I can't wait. It's going to be blamed for everything.
Because I think that's fucking shameful.
But what if it all goes really good now? What if we solve
it would be amazing.
What if we solve all of our problems?
It would be amazing. I mean, I want it to be a success. It has to be, because otherwise we're all fucked. Like, there's going to be a huge recession because of the coronavirus, the worst in Europe in history, they think, and I can believe it. And global trade is going to contract by like 25% or something stupid like that. And then it's going to take years to get out of this.
Just wait.
And in the middle
like
of
2021,
we've got Brexit.
2021, it's going to be like, I'm going to be like, hello, welcome to the Trifles podcast. As I'm like eating a pickle out of a jar in my like fucking. Fucking apocalypse basement.
Yep.
Sips is like in the bath, like fucking died in the bath. Like,
with my tablet and sports scores.
And with your iPad. And PFLAX will probably be fucking full army gear.
No, it'll be the same.
Like, oh, it's another day killing refugees at the checkpoints.
What do you think I'm going to my new job is going to be?
I don't know what you're going to be doing. I just see you as a survivor.
But no, I specifically said I don't give a fuck about surviving in
a
terrible situation.
I'll have like scabies and long hair. Sips will be dead and you're going to be like the new world order.
I'm not sticking around for that. I don't want a new world.
You know what? Because I eat meat, you think I'm some kind of wannabe Nazi guard.
No. Because you've got a family and you have to protect them.
Sips has a family. He just wants to look after his dick.
Sips isn't
That's all he cares about.
I wouldn't have a family without one, so it's kind of important, no?
Sips isn't the breadwinner, though. Sips' wife will be on the front lines. Sips' wife will be the one shooting the gun, and she's a badass. She'd be fucking wearing full camo.
Forget
jumping
cyborg
out of helicopters,
Joe Biden.
Shooting zombies.
My wife will be on the steps of the White House holding two miniguns, protecting Donald Trump, and not even
That's
yelling at the
about.
Alien menace. She would just be giving them that look, like that, you know. just the look that you get every once in a while, you know, like that death stare, and I think they would just fuck off. They'd be like, oh,
when
man.
She's like, oh, can you quickly do the dishwasher before you get out to the garage?
Did you remember to bring the towels in? And then you get that look. That's
well,
the
they're
one.
Waiting for me. I've got to go back and stream.
See, if they bottle that look, we'll be safe forever. I mean, it's. Nobody,
yeah,
nobody's
honestly,
ever gonna fuck with us. Jeez,
that's what we need. Yeah. More of that. Look, all right. That's the Trifles podcast today. Thank you, everybody.
Oh God,
what a weird one. We're going a little nuts here. We've been stuck inside for 10 Christ. Years. There's no
we
escape.
We gotta get out of this lockdown.
We're losing our goddamn minds.
Yeah, we are. I feel it. I can feel it creeping on day by day. I'm having very intense dreams. I had a dream last night that I was in a toy store and
God.
There was a big box there.
Yeah,
and the box had. It was like a car. Do you remember those small cars you could drive in when you were a little kid and you never had one, and some rich twat had one? It was like a car, and it said on the side,
exactly,
on the side of the box, it said Schrode Crumpley's car. And I thought, who's Schrode Crumpley? And he was like a big guy. But in the dream, I was like, oh man, Schrode Crumpley's
Italian
car. Had to get in it. And it was
Alpha
like
male ran a pizza
it was,
restaurant.
I was driving around the aisles of this toy store in this huge, like, it was like a miniature Humvee thing with a turret. And I thought, this is great. And I'm a fully grown man. I know I'm losing my mind.
I had a dream that I had an absolute blowout argument with Steve, and I threw a chair at him.
That happened last night live on stream. Oh, by the way, the other night you left your fucking stream running.
I know. I don't know.
And
what I was
Barry
doing.
Was
not
trying
right
to
here.
Shut it down. Oh, it was hilarious.
Lewis, I made some comments about this not too long ago on my own stream because I like to pride myself on having enough discipline to actually turn my fucking stream off when I'm done streaming. But I hope that you don't stream from a room where you would normally like rub your penis or engage in frivolous activities with other human beings or anything like that, because that could be embarrassing if that you pick up some panting or some moaning and groaning.
I'm
on
still
the mic.
Learning. I'm still learning how to stream.
Yeah, you don't want
to. I've not been doing
when
it.
When you're finished, right. Turn it off. Very simple.
Just press the stop button and just double check to make sure that you've done that, and then you're golden.
Yeah.
Don't be the guy that leaves his.
Is that Lydia waiting for you in recording one?
Yeah.
You're late. We're gonna get on it, son.
This morning. I know I'm late. I can't
Thanks
be late.
Thanks for listening, you know. Everybody. See you later.
She'll give me that look.
Bye.
Bye.